I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. Oh.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, no bad slash jacks. That's somehow a very feisty Matt Weber as usual in the morning. He's not working. He's much more talkative and argumentative on the way in, Kevin. Just saying.
Still working, but working from home.
Yeah. It's working from home. The S&P futures down 30, NASDAQ futures down 82, Dow futures down 143, but not to worry so much. Yesterday was such a huge up day. Little comeback. We had Dow up 21.12, 11%. I think it's the biggest Dow move since 1933 percentage. S&P futures up 209 yesterday, 9.4%. NASDAQ up 557, 8%. So we're giving back a little bit. It looks like there's agreement on this bill at the Senate. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
So maybe some good news.
Hey, you brought up working from home. A suggestion. Some listeners may benefit from this as well, and that is just keep a little running document of what you do when you're working at home.
Most people, that would be very damning.
Because sooner or later, somebody is going to come around and say, so, what have you been doing while you were working at home? And if you say, funny, you should ask. I have a document of that. You will sort of demonstrate that you have continued to add value throughout this whole mess. And that's probably a good thing. So if nobody asks, you know, what'd you do? You spent a few extra minutes a day documenting. But if somebody asks, you got the answer.
So that's a good idea. That's really
how about
good
like go out for a walk, like 8 to 10, 10 to 12, wrestle with girlfriend, 12 to 3, take 2 phone calls, 3 o'clock, start drinking.
That's probably not going to make the impression you're after, and if I didn't know better, I would guess that you don't wrestle with girlfriend because she'd kick your ass.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, there are a lot of things to do at home. The reason why I got to believe that I'm surprised, Kevin. You know, boy, if this would have happened even 10 years ago, I have to believe everybody's cable would have gone out, but everybody using all the stuff at home.
Oh, yeah, the amount of bandwidth that we have added over the last 10 years, it's been a an explosion of bandwidth, and, yeah, we couldn't have pulled this off without it.
Well, so, see, if either one of you two gentlemen get the test positive, which I hope you do not, you're going to join an interesting group now. Guess who has it?
Who this time?
Prince Charles.
Oh, yeah, I did. I thought I'd heard that in the background while I was making coffee.
So, you know, so now in 10 days, or however long it takes, however long he's had it, he gets to go back out and take care of the people with no worries. Says he has mild
symptoms.
I'm sure
he'll do a fine job. How old's that guy?
He's getting up there. He's been in waiting for the throne longer than most people have been alive.
For probably a good 50 years.
Well, he's old.
Sort of thinking any time now.
Prince Charles is 71.
I was going to say, he's been waiting 71 years. Was his mother already?
Well, I don't think he was waiting the first 2 or 3 years of his life.
Well, let me ask you this.
Maybe by the time he was 5, he was figuring he had a line on it. But
Manny, how long has she been queen? Was she queen when he was born?
I'll try to find out. She's 93. I'll try to find out when she
became. I think she got to be queen when she was like 30, so she probably wasn't queen when he was born. So he wasn't waiting until she became queen, right? Would be my guess. Her brother was the Duke of the guy who left, right? Was that her older brother, the Duke of Windsor? Did he married the divorced woman, so he had to abdicate?
By the way, she became queen in 1952 when her father died.
All right, so he was born in
King George VI.
He was born in what, 47 or something?
So
yeah, whatever it was he was very young. When
basically,
he became
queen. Yeah, for 66 some odd years, he's been waiting.
But her brother was the Duke of Windsor, Edward, and he abdicated because he married the divorced lady. And the King of England is allegedly, and the Queen of England is head of the church too. I don't know if they do much of that anymore, but isn't that right, Kevin? Right.
So Matt, your next bumper music should be Matthew Sweet's "I've Been Waiting" then.
Yeah,
in honor of the King.
By the way,
in honor of Prince Charles.
Speaking
of the way things are going, he may not get to wait any longer.
He also forgot to put. Now, with all this virus thing, and Maddie's all fired up about it,
hold on. Before you say that, I wanted to stay on the bumper music for 2 seconds.
Well, you missed the Gambler yesterday.
Well, Kenny Rogers played this morning. What condition my condition was in.
We didn't do the Gambler, though. It was his signature.
Well, I know, and that's a great song. But Alika was running things yesterday, so I didn't do anything. I wanted to mention real quick that song is a song played in one of our opens, and Kenny Rogers passed away, the legendary country music singer and actor and everything else.
By the way, as your continuing education to our young lady, she as of now has no concept of getting a song and getting it on. So maybe it's advanced learning, I know, but one of these days.
It's not... With our equipment, it's not as easy as you'd think it is either. So I'll that'll be something I'll have to show.
I have never once degraded your prowess over there.
No. I don't mean it like that. I'm saying there's.
Oh, I do it all the time.
I'm saying there's other sort of software that makes it a lot easier. Ours is not that easy.
I thought there was only like one kind or something. That Anthem or whatever that stuff is.
No, there's a lot.
There's a lot. All right. Well. You don't realize how good Maddie is till you see somebody else over there with fingers and toes going. I'm going, I hope they know what they're doing.
Only use my toes very rarely. Maybe if Lou's on, I'll have to use my toes.
You do it when the power is a surge or something.
Yes.
So Kevin, we've got kind of crazy stuff as usual. We had a big bounce back in the market yesterday. I don't know if that was caused by the Senate bill, the Fed action, just the market was maybe too low, or Trump saying he's opening stuff up. I don't know.
It didn't look like there was going to be a bill yesterday until way into the evening. So it couldn't have been a reaction to that.
Why? That's a general question before we dig into this particular bill, which nobody, of course, knows any details of. Why do you suppose that I don't know what Michigan or Indiana does, but why do you suppose even the Illinois, most corrupt place on earth, has gone the opposite direction, and Senator Matt Murphy, when he was on, mentioned that one thing that Illinois has done is they've gone to these pretty much individual, not the budget, obviously, but like individual bills where they just do a bill on a subject and that's it. They don't stack stuff on it. And yet, the stuff in Washington, there could be something that you or Maddie or somebody, say you got something, you want to help out, you know, the homeless under Roosevelt Road, say. And you manage to get enough people in a committee to say, yes, we want to do this. We want to give you, you know, $100,000 to whatever, get the Garden Mission bigger or something so these guys have a place to sleep at night. It may be like years before they find a bill that they can stick that on. Why can't they just pass it? Why have they gone so far the other direction? I don't know the answers. I'm absolutely hoping one of you guys has an explanation for this. Why are those guys so good they just can't pass a $100,000 bill for the guys on the Roosevelt Road?
Don't know what to tell you. It's the way we've been doing business for a long time. It's a really expensive way to do business.
But not forever.
And
there was a change somewhere.
It doesn't help.
But I'm saying, Kevin, I don't think you're right. It's been a long time, and it's been getting, in my mind, worse and worse. But why? I don't think it was like that in the 50s and 60s, was it? I don't know, but I don't think it was.
I would imagine that we have had we've been pretty dysfunctional. We don't think back to it, but you know who Edward Stemming is? W. Edward Stemming.
I have heard the name many times.
Considered the father of the quality management movement.
Okay.
He ran the Census Bureau into the early on, and he got sent over to Japan to help with the reconstruction and he helped them build statistical models for managing their businesses, managing manufacturing, managing quality, and he's there's a whole holistic management methodology wrapped around this, and he came back to the United States and tried to get United States companies to buy into it, and they wouldn't. So he went back to Japan and famously worked with Toyota, among others. And nowadays, the highest quality management award that a Japanese company can get is the Deming Award, which is named after an American. Now, the reason I bring that up is that at the time, when he ran the Census Bureau, it was considered the only efficient department of government at the time. So this goes back a long way, where people thought government was big and clunky and unable to be responsive.
That was before it got really big and clunky and unable to be responsive.
Yeah, it's just worse now, that's all. But no, it's been this way for a long time.
What I have another bizarre question, because Maddie could do something here if he wanted to. Actually, more, I'd have to have Jill do this. You'd never follow it through. Now, the kid downstairs, the kid, when you get old, the gentleman who used to live downstairs has just moved out. Now, he moved out and moved in with his girlfriend at another place, so she obviously moved out of a place as well. Now, all his census stuff, or census stuff, is coming to the downstairs apartment. And I assume it's coming to wherever place the girlfriend moved out of as well. Now, are they going to find the two of them at the new place, or should I make sure I find him and say that he's still at the old place? I mean, how do people like that not get lost in the crack? And because I don't know that much about it. The only thing I know about the census is the Three Stooges one, where they kept running up down the street. Now, the other question is, if he's being counted at the new place and I want to get us a new representative, why can't we move Venkman downstairs and give him a last name like Venkman C. Dog or something, and say he's living down there and get us another person.
Two G's,
yeah. Just ask him.
Don't know what to tell you, Tom. They will. They do track people down, though, because they start sending people around.
They only send people around now if you don't send in.
It's a statistical model, so there's going to be some point where they're not going to 100% count everybody, and they're going to extrapolate stuff from the staff.
Well, have you gotten your stuff? Have you read it?
I got it. It's sitting on a table, same place it was a couple of weeks ago when I got it.
Okay. Well, it appears to be.
I opened the envelope. Does that help me any?
No. What it appears to be is they want me to go online and do the stuff. Okay. And if I don't by such and such a date, they're going to mail the forms to me to send in through the mail, and I'm assuming if I don't do that, I'm liable to get a knock on the door. So there's a pecking order to this. But I also wanted to ask you, I'm going to say a year and a half ago, Manny, did you guys get this upstairs? I got a fairly thick questionnaire in the mail, and it wasn't part of the official census, but they sent it like 2-3 times, so they were serious about it. It was very detailed. Like, where did my parents come from? And I probably should have burned it, but I didn't. I actually acted like a citizen for once. And filled it all out. But it was, I had to go online. It was, I'm going to say, 15 pages of questions. I mean, how many people have lived in the house? How many people spend, 3 nights a week there, 4 nights a week there? It was very, very detailed, more than a census. What was that? Was that something, a credit
probably
card?
Probably an identity thief.
Probably I say, wasn't it an identity thief? It could have been. But I mean, it was, but I went online to a government site to do it. It wasn't like it was a piece of paper I mailed in.
Are you sure you went to a government site, or did it just look like a government site?
It looked like a very good government site. But I'm saying, what was that?
All phishing schemes do.
Yes, I know. All right, all right. So basically the bottom line is you don't know what it is, but I was an idiot to fill it out.
I would be asking a whole lot of questions before I went to complete it.
All right. Well, I thought I did, but anyway.
Too late, huh?
So let me...
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's totally legit, Tom. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But when somebody asks you to provide information that's out of the ordinary, I start with the assumption that it's a scam, and then we'll work our way back from that if necessary.
But it had everything in the world about the U.S. Census and stuff. I mean, it was, you know, it was official. They didn't say click to this site. I kicked in usgovernment.something-something. And I mean,
yeah, and that helps.
Yeah. Anyway, so
it helps your cause.
So get a load of this. It's, you know, as my uncle used to say to me, it's hard to soar with the eagles when you're hanging around with a bunch of turkeys. You know, this was a Southside thing. So downstairs, since the guy moved out, we probably have a new tenant, say May 1st. But before we do, the guy left all, you know, nice chairs and sofas, and I measured if we stayed 6 feet apart, we probably could get 4 or 5 people down there, you know, and use it like as a men's club for 6 weeks, because everybody's going stir crazy by themselves. So one of our guys, I said, you know, the guy said he was leaving the TV, but he brought the TV. He took the TV. So one of the guys goes, well, I got a spare TV. He's been on the show. I won't use his name, but he's an attorney. Okay, well, fine. We'll bring it over. He says, well, what do I get for the TV? I said, what do you mean, what do you get for the TV? He says, well, I'm providing the TV. I says, well, if this conversation ends right now, you might not have to have a secret password, and we might, like, not let you in type of thing, because everybody's contributing something. Oh. So then I go online yesterday, and I spot a combination VCR DVD player, and I send it to Mr. Matt Weber. I assume the first thing I would hear this morning is, Chief, the thing's on its way. Now, what do they think the chances of that thing showing up without me mentioning it to Maddie, knowing full well we need one of these things down there? What is, if you don't do something yourself, Kevin, does anything ever get done these days or what?
If you want to count on it, actually, you know what? You have to learn to count on other people to do things, but that is sort of a leadership challenge, is it not?
whether he travels fastest or travels alone, I guess is the so.
Well, yeah. Look at it this way: when, especially when it comes to decision making, when you have when you're making it yourself, that's the fastest way to make a decision. However,
yeah.
It's also the way with the least amount of information and the highest likelihood of making a bad decision.
Right, and if it's a big enough project, you can't do it yourself. So you've got, which brings us kind of decision-making on what we're doing with this virus thing, Kevin. And I have a feeling we're making some progress. This is what I'm seeing the last few days, is that the hospitals are... that don't seem to be being overrun as much, and they're preparing.
Well, New York City's very worried about it.
Right. And I think that the, especially in some areas, the hospitals have increased their capacity fairly dramatically, and we're pretty much, I mean, in Illinois here, I think we're 2,000 or 3,000 under, under fully loaded up in hospitals, what I saw last night. So that's all, like, really pretty good news. We're starting to get more tests. We're showing that more people have it. We're also showing some people that are damn near over it. So it seems to be still that a lot of people in the lower age groups don't seem to be bothered by it all that much, although some people have symptoms and aren't the best. So we've got some good
and
news.
And some young people have died.
Well, yeah. And, I don't know. I mean, I don't, as soon as, but you don't know nobody knows the history of any of these cases. People, and again, it sounds really like kind of heartless, but the statistics you would like to see, not like to see bad, but a city like New York, you know, X number of people die per day over the age of 60. Now, if that number is 500, and because of this virus, that number goes to 2,000, well, now you got a real problem. If it's 500 normally, and now the number is 510, it's a problem for everybody. If for the 10, I know, but it's also they're blaming this flu instead of another flu. I mean, What I'm saying is you have to look at the statistics with very open eyes. And I mentioned to Matt Weber on the way in Italy, I think the issue, Kevin, was they jammed people in their houses without regard to the fact that they're multi-generational houses in Italy and that the older people live with the younger people in a lot of times, and there's a lot more older people. And I think that strategy has been an unmitigated disaster for Italy. I would love to see the day, and maybe it'll come soon, Matty and I were talking on the way in, where we can go for a test, and the test will say, you don't have the virus, but you got antibodies, you already did have it, or you do have it. By the way, you had the antibodies, you already had it.
That's two tests, Sam.
Yeah, well, whatever. You already had it, go back to work, you got it, stay away from people for 14 days, everybody. And by the way, you haven't gotten it yet, so you be careful. That's really where we want to get, right? We're a ways away from that.
Well, that's part of it. Part of it may be, keeping the and this is hard to do because now you start to single out people, but also keeping separated the high risk people from the rest of the population.
Oh, sure.
Because there are parts of the population that even if you get it, it's like you got the really bad flu. So, it would be nice to make sure nobody's contagious. It certainly would be nice that if we assume that a lot more people have had it and are past it, if we could allow those people to go back to work, to doing all kinds of things, that would be part of the first steps towards getting the economy going again.
There needs to be a bar that said, "We all had it." It should be the name of the bar.
Yeah, that would be a good name for a bar. I've had it.
I survived the virus.
I've had it up to here.
Yeah, I've survived the virus. Give me my beer. Well, I think we're gonna have to get to that stage. Now, whether it's 2 months, 3 months, whatever. Right now, I think we're doing as much as I question everything everybody does. That's the whole idea. But this is not, Kevin. This is my personality. Every trade I make at the end of the day for my people, I question, was it the right one? I treat myself like I do everybody else. No day is perfect. I can have a terrific day. I'll have 7 or 8 really good trades and a couple I want back. So if you're a trader, your life is never perfect. You get in the habit of that you always question everything you do because the next time you'd like to make 8 decisions right and 2 bad instead of 7 and 3. You're never going to get to 10. But if you're a trader, you make a decision. Most people don't make very many decisions about their work or about anything. But if you're trading and managing people's money, you do, right?
Yeah. Something else too that maybe after the break we can get into this, but I'll sort of preamble it. I've made a living over a lot of years of taking over very dysfunctional departments in businesses and getting them turned around, and so I'd like to talk a little bit about what that process is. Because it isn't easy. It is, and the one of the things is when you take over something that is just not working, you go after whatever the screaming need is first, and then something jumps up and screams at you, and then you start going along and you keep discovering more. What everybody thinks is wrong is only half of what really is wrong.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And so as you go through it, you keep moving one rock, and underneath it, there's a whole lot more. And I can tell you in one case, going back to the 80s, I went to work at a bank, and it was to get things turned around, and it took a long time, to the point where my son was little at the time, and his mother once said to me, Patrick used to ask if you were coming home for dinner. He doesn't ask anymore. Because that was my life, was just buried, totally immersed in this, in trying to get the ship righted.
Yeah.
And it took a long time. By the, you go fast forward a couple of years, 2-3 years, and not only was everything stable and working, but it was, we were doing really fun, creative stuff. I've done this several times. I'd like to talk a little bit more about it, but I've even done it with people trying to undermine me.
Well, yeah, well, like in Washington. No matter who you are, they're trying to undermine you, for God's sake.
Yeah, and that's, you know, so that's part of why, you know, I thought it would be, it would be worth discussing, because I don't think most people have a real understanding of what that's like. And that's, you know, that's what anybody who tries to manage out of something like this, you know, you can't anticipate everything, and then when things come along, it takes you a long time to get it ramped up and get it oriented the right way, and then it's on to the next thing. Before we hit break, we're there.
S&P futures down 29. Again, we're up way more than this yesterday. So we're Dow futures are down 54. That's 0.2%. We're up 10% yesterday. So we're bouncing back down a little bit, but so far nothing serious. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill. Just as I said, don't worry about how much we're sinking. We're sinking a little more now. S&P futures down 47. NASDAQ futures down 129. It's the White House and the Senate that have cut the deal on the Senate bill. The House has not said they're in on this yet. And the White House, grudgingly, Manny and Kevin, has agreed to a little more supervision and $500 billion in there that was at the president's discretion that Trump the other day said, I'll manage it. I wouldn't want that. I don't want to give that guy a penny to discretion. That would just be me. Nor would I vote anybody. That's what Congress is supposed to. Why would you ever kick that authority over to the other side when that's your story? Anyway, this befuddles me. DAX down 83 bucks, 0.8%. FTSE up 49.9%. CAC round up 36.8%. And these guys were up yesterday pretty heavy, but I don't know if they were as heavy as we were. Japan stocks soar 8% as U.S. announces coronavirus stimulus deal, but they didn't really announce it because the House is not in it yet from what I read. Anyway, Nikkei up 1454, that's 8%. Shanghai up 59%, that's 2%. Hang Seng up 836, that's 3.8%. So stuff is all over the place. Bonds, 0.82. The Bund, minus 0.30. They were down to minus 0.59 the other day. Japan still positive. 0.02%. Oil, 23.68, so it's back down a little bit, 33 cents. Brent down 95 cents, 26.20. Natural gas, 165. RBOB, 46 cents. It makes me feel like driving somewhere, Kevin, and then going filling up the Suburban again, for God's sake. Gold, down 18 bucks, 16.41. Had a huge move up yesterday. Silver, up another 19 cents, 14.45. Copper, down a penny, 2.16. Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, not much sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Nice and quiet coming in on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways if you are coming into downtown today. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson, Southside expressways, all quiet. Only crash in the area right now is out in the western suburbs. Carroll Stream, there's an accident. Schick Road on the westbound side at South Gary Avenue has crews on the scene. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, it's going to be a very nice day in Chicago. Cloudy early, and then we'll clear up this afternoon, and temperatures will warm up, and we'll reach a high of 55, very pleasant degrees. Then rain comes in later this week. But we should be dry today with some sunshine this afternoon and a high of 55. Right now it's cloudy and 37. For our Phoenix listeners, a beautiful day down in the Valley of the Sun, mostly sunny skies, a high of 79. Right now it's mostly clear and 55. In sports, obviously nothing going on currently of note, but on this day in sports history, we have a few events of interest. In 1972, Chief, UCLA beat Florida 81-76 to win their sixth straight national title. Bill Walton was named the tournament's most outstanding player on this date, March 25th, 1972. And also in 1972 on this date, Bobby Hull becomes the second NHLer to score 600 goals at that time in 1972.
Who was the first?
I'd have to look up who the first was.
I would say Gordie Howe.
I would say you're probably right. I think that's a very good guess, but I'd have to look it up to be sure. And lastly, on this date, in 1995, boxer Mike Tyson was released from jail after serving his 3-year sentence. Chief.
Some of my buddies older than me, guys I learned the option business from, they used to go to the NCAAs every year for like 20-some years, no matter where it was, and they refused as traders to ever have a ticket before they went down there, right? So they would actually trade tickets. They'd buy one and sell it for more money and, you know, that type of thing. As they got the flow from the hotels and other places. And they were serious basketball freakos. Sort of like you, Kevin. Marty O'Connell and his gang of people. They all Notre Dame guys. Or Stanford guys, because he went to both. Marty told me that out of all the people he'd seen in the tournament, Jabbar, everybody, he thought Bill Walton was the best player he ever saw in the tournament.
A lot of people feel that way, and it's easy to overlook him because the injuries started right after the Portland championship season. But man, that guy was good.
So he's the only
really
person.
Was.
The only person who would jump for the rebound, grab it with both hands, and while he was in the air, turn and do the pass before he hit the ground.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, absolutely incredible passer. Hey, was the first to 600, was it Maurice Richard?
One of those two.
It's a good guess. I'll see if I
can. My guess.
Maurice the Racket. And what was the little, what was his little brother's name? The Pocket Racket.
Pocket Racket.
Henri Richard. All the guys used to be these little hatchet-faced French dudes that played for Toronto and Montreal, maybe back in the day without the helmets. All little guys with kind of big noses.
Is hatchet-faced French dude, is that redundant?
Sort of. talk about,
hey, as far as the deal goes, I would be surprised if they did something and did not have, at least signals from the house that they would accept it. However, I also, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's true, and if Speaker Pelosi were to go in and try to throw some goodies in and say, yeah, we ain't passing it without these, because that's pretty much been her style all along.
What do you think, is there ever a chance, Kevin? I'm looking at Boeing, up almost $16 today. The stock traded, I think it was under 90 3 days ago. Now it's 143. I have to believe most of that is your and mine and Maddie's money. Do we ever stop? I mean, what more do you have to give to a place than a monopoly, and they still can't? I mean, that decision to continue making those planes at 43 a month, thinking you were going to force the government into giving you an okay, that's as dumb as any decision that we ever made at Pullman. And we made some dumb ones. I was not in charge, but when I saw that, I go, you can't be serious. Not that I didn't wish this on them, okay, at all, but I've seen it. I've seen something like this before on a very minor scale. That was stone cold ignorant, Manny, or Manny and Kevin. That board's got to go. Got to go. Why am I? I'm being heartless about this, but I listen to a couple people on TV that are saying, any other business, make a decision like that, you're screwed, whether it's your fault, anybody's fault. There's a discipline in this. They've got to go. United's got to go. You still don't own a plane 20 years after 9/11. You got to go. You spent how many billion on your own stock? That could have been 25 planes. You bought cash. I mean, I don't know, Kevin. It's just me. But I mean, I'm sure this will all be forgotten 3 months from now, and I guess that's a good thing. We'll all be back to normal, and there is such a thing as normal. But some
or
people
back to abnormal.
Well, but some people we know will not be back to normal. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a. There'll be a Tripoli tap. Now, whether those guys still own it or not, that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? There'll be bars, there'll be restaurants, but now whether the big guys who get the money scoop up the little guys that don't get it, you know, I don't know. This whole idea that all this money is going to find its way down to people we know and the guys under the bridge on Roosevelt Road, I say BS because I've never seen it happen before. But I'm willing to give them a shot, Kevin. I'm willing to say, let's hope they're better this time. But they talk the same way, and the money always goes a different way, doesn't it? Seems to me.
Well, yeah, it's exasperating.
Yeah,
you know, it really is. But right now the mission is figure out how to get something back on their feet. The problem is, we've talked about wage and price controls.
By the way, don't forget your Turner. Don't forget your Turner.
What the snapback to that was, which was substantial.
By the way, you got to talk about your turnaround plan at some point, so don't forget that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll come back to that in just a second. We have a severe economic shock. That's going to have a big reaction, and now we're having a severe injection of whatever. I don't know. I wouldn't call it capital.
It's printed money
of something into the economy, and that's going to have a reaction. I think we're in for years of wild swings here.
By the way, the term would be printed money. We have a $1.5 billion trillion deficit this year, and we're about to make it 3.5 or more.
Pretty exciting.
By the way, just so you know how policy, when somebody has to do something, and you do some policy, I don't know. To this day, Kevin, but maybe it's happened on a rebound after 9/11 or whatever, but the single biggest move in the stock market percentage-wise for 3 days straight was the 3 days after Nixon's wage and price controls, and virtually everybody in the economic sphere will tell you that was the single dumbest economic decision pretty much ever by anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And yet the market really reacted bad. Huge to the upside. So don't always assume that the market knows what it's doing. I'm just saying.
All right, so let's talk about just at a department level, because usually a corporate turnaround is a little bit different animal from this. Corporate turnarounds are as financial as they are anything else. But we go back to my first management job, 1981, and when I got hired, the thing that they told me was going to be the priority, and as they walked around, they tried to tell me how bad things were, and it wound up being about 10 times worse. But the priority was that they had bought all of this equipment for the teller lines, tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. And the prior people involved, the prior regime, had done everything that led up to conversion day. They had all of the equipment installed, and then they opened the bank, and nothing worked.
What kind of equipment are you talking about? What would cost that
much? It's IBM teller terminals and printers and, you know, all this. It was specialized. They're a little more standardized with normal PC equipment nowadays, but in those days it was all just very specialized equipment.
And you paid less than IBM, of course.
So and it was really bad. I mean, it was so bad that the president of the bank said at noon that day, take it all out, put the other stuff back in, we have to go. We have to get in business. Okay? So now we have all of this equipment bought and paid for sitting in a storeroom, and meanwhile, they're paying a lease for the equipment that the old equipment, and that's kind of expensive. Okay? So that's going to be my priority. And it really, there were so many things wrong with how that whole process worked, and I'd have to get real geeky to talk about all of the things that were wrong with the programming and some of the techniques they used and so on. And it took us quite a while to fix that. Then all of a sudden they say, oh, by the way, we want to open up a new ATM over at the branch across the river. And I say, fine. Well, the same problems that plagued the teller terminals, it was IBM 3600 series equipment. The same problem that plagued the teller terminals also plagued the ATM controllers and terminals. So now it was like, okay, that was my priority, but now my priority is all of a sudden drop everything. We have to figure out how to make this stupid ATM stuff work. So we did that. And then we're about to get back to it, and up flares up the loan portfolio issue. What's going on with that? Well, they converted recently to a consumer lending system that handled all the payments and the tracking and the reporting and all of that, and they did it all wrong. And so now payments, the application of interest and principal and things like that were all happening wrong and not according to contracts. So, okay, wait a minute, drop everything, figure out how to fix that. Well, what we actually wound up doing was running a deconversion program to take everything off of the system, then set it up correctly, and then feed all of the stuff back in as if it were a brand new conversion so that it would retro-calculate everything and reapply everything the way it was supposed to be, and then do all the general ledger adjustments. Life was like that for 2 years, of going from one to the next. And let me fast forward to, let's see, what do we want to, which one do I want to do? When I went over to St. Joseph, and that bank, you know, the first thing they told me was, we have a whole bunch of quality issues in operations, and I was responsible for operations and IT there. We have a bunch of quality issues in our operations. I need you to attack those. And I said, fine, we can start down that. And oh, by the way, when you walk in the door, they say, you know what, our system isn't up on time every day after we run the nightly update cycle, so can you deal with that too? And so we had to go through a whole bunch of stuff getting that under control. And we did. Same thing. I went up to Milwaukee, worked for a bank up there. I didn't even make it into the HR director's office on the first day when the senior VP in charge of retail banking pulled me aside, said, can we talk for a minute? and he described for me, which I didn't realize how bad it was when I took the job, how much downtime they're having on the network and how much it's costing the branches. And so that's a screaming need, and we're off on redesigning the network. And the thing is, as you do all of this, you step by step start fixing things. That last stop too. My predecessor still worked for the bank. She had operations in IT before I got there. They asked her which one she would like to keep. She said IT, and they said, "Nah, you got operations."
Yeah.
So I got hired for IT, and she was never happy about that. So she, as in charge of backroom operations, which is the biggest customer of IT in a bank, she worked actively to undermine me. So I had that going on at the same time. And so all of these things, you start to turn it all very, very slowly, and you don't realize it's any better until you look back. One day you say, oh, remember all that stuff that was hitting us every single day? It's not hitting us every single day anymore. We're actually stable now. I think that's when you get a crisis in government. And you can go back and consider, whatever you want. Look at the oil spill in the Gulf during President Obama's tenure. Look at the Obamacare website not working and how long it took to fix that when it's just an e-commerce website. When you have to move a dysfunctional operation in some kind of direction, it's really hard and it takes a lot of time. And I think that's part of what we've been observing. And what was it that the Dr. Burke said yesterday? We've done in the last 8 days, we've done more tests than South Korea did in 8 weeks, and that's good. But what did we do before the last 8 days? We bupkis because it's so dysfunctional we couldn't get it off the ground.
Well, I
don't think people really understand that. They just figure, somebody's just going to have to order this done, and it'll happen. And I don't think they understand the process, and that's why I'm much more empathetic than I think a lot of people, because I've lived it on a micro level. If you want a really good book about it, pick up Mitt Romney's book, Turnaround. He wrote that way.
Back
when he was going to run for Senate the first time in Massachusetts. But it was about the Olympics and him taking over the Salt Lake City Olympics. And it was the same thing. Big, bloated, entitled, over budget, dysfunctional, nothing working, ready for the IOC to pull the Olympics away from Salt Lake City and how they went about turning that around.
Well, Kevin, I think the average, unless you've done stuff like you do and, I mean, me and Ben. Well, I learned from a simple story. When you build a railroad car, your best engineer, you put them on the first drawing is called the undercar arrangement drawing, because all the stuff that you essentially, that you need for a railroad car is essentially underneath it. Your air conditioners, all the stuff, depending on the car, of course, some can be up on the roof, the undercar, everything has to fit where it's supposed to fit. So if the air conditioner has to be this size and it plunks there, well, all the other stuff has, anyway, but it takes one person does this drawing, and it's about a 6 week project. So one of the lunatics that could easily be on Facebook or a tweet today says, why don't we put 5 different engineers working on the thing and the same drawing? So this big, big, huge target, bigger than me, was the head of engineering, Bill Walker. He goes, well, if I take that logic to its extreme, if I want a baby in 1 month, I have sex with 9 women. the guy's looking at
I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, there is a sequence to this. I mean, just because you yell at people in a press conference doesn't get you a test any quicker, because God help you if you come out with a test that is not proper, and all of a sudden a bunch of people die, like the swine flu thing. Now you got another prop, but then you also,
yeah, and all the while, Tom, you're trying to evaluate the people you have on,
right?
That you have to rely on, and that some people are going to pass muster, and some people aren't, and so you have all of that, and it's process for it is it's really hard. It takes a really special skill set, and most people just have no appreciation for it.
Well, because they've a lot of people's jobs, and a lot of, this is not disparaging anybody, unless you've seen it, unless you see A has to come before B, B has to come before C. That's why I think a lot of people would benefit, Kevin, in even in high school from woodworking, those kinds of things, because there's a process to it. You need the idea, you need the drawing, you need the machine, you need the piece of wood. I mean, it just doesn't happen all at once. And I mean, I think when we have people, again, I never wanted to get drafted, certainly in Vietnam, but it's astounding to me as I dig further into the, like my mom said, she watched Gone with the Wind the first time, all she thought about were the parties. When she watched it when she was 35, all she thought about was the wounded. And now when I watch these shows about, the Battleship New Jersey and Iowa and cruisers and so forth and submarines, I sit there and go, for God's sake, in a period of, they launched this ship, whatever, in June, and, they did some shakedown cruises, and, for God's sake, in August, the thing is in battle with 2,500 people knowing exactly where to go, knowing exactly what to do, and the stuff isn't even labeled, for God's sake. This guy's on this switch, this guy's on that switch. I mean, the incredible teamwork it takes to do something like that is outstanding. And there's a sequence.
Yeah, consider the aftermath of Pearl Harbor as an example,
yeah.
Too. How unprepared we were for it. And then, what was the response to it? How long did it take to get the Doolittle raid up? Up and running. It was quick. It was incredibly fast. It wasn't like next week.
Well, but it was way faster than the burn interchange.
Well, yeah.
Just saying.
Now, that would be a good example. What would it take if someone were put in charge and someone said, "Get that done"?
Well, even the Pearl Harbor raid.
It's still going to take some time to retrench and reorganize and get the right people involved and all that, and then make it happen. It's those kinds of things that, I wish government were more inclined to fix stuff like that. In the Trump administration, have they made headway on the VA? Yeah, they did. It didn't happen quickly.
No.
But they made headway on the Veterans Administration hospitals. I don't think they're all the way where they want to be or where they ever wanted to be, but it, at least it's better. And, that's a different example where they put some good people involved. They had some fits and starts. They actually had multiple people at high-level jobs that they had to put in and replace and put in and replace.
Well, a lot of my...
Part of that is that Trump's not very good at selecting people. He gets, unduly impressed with someone real quickly, and then they fall out of favor just as quickly. So he gets in his own way on that, but at the same time, sometimes you do just have to, you have to keep going till you get the right team together.
Well, a lot of my bitch is, Kevin, it's combined. I don't know if it's all that obvious to the people. But I always have a couple of things I'm thinking about at the same time, which is kind of weak, I guess. But I just think about after 9/11, and we spent bazillions of dollars, hired all these people, and all the outrage to me towards individual liberties are still there. All the money was spent and then some, and yet every time we have some kind of a crisis where we should have been way more planned for than we did in 9/11, it appears we're not. And I have a real serious issue with that, and everything I say, it's part of my verbal agenda. What the hell's going on? I mean, why weren't we a little smarter? Why weren't we a little faster? This is exactly why people gave up their liberties, why we spent the dough, and it appears we got nothing or very little. That's obviously, it's always going to be in what I say. It's a burr underneath my backside on this whole thing.
I'm with you on that, and I think especially the stuff that is predictable. Could you have predicted a worldwide pandemic? No. Could you have predicted, based on the history of the last 10 years, that we would have some kind of serious medical situation that spreads rapidly that we need to address? That we could have done,
which we did. I mean,
because it keeps happening.
But it's all the same thing, Kevin. That's my point. It's all the same thing. It's a whole bunch of people for whatever reason, age group, geographic, whatever it is, downtown Chicago, Dirty Bomb, whatever it is, who could be Little Rock, Arkansas, you know, a biological thing, whatever it is, it has to do with bringing resources to bear in an area because they don't have enough and getting people the hell out of there to where resources are. No matter what it is, it's going to entail that. And I see nothing that allows us to do that. Just saying. I mean, after all this.
I think you're right. And government's not good at scaling anyway, quickly.
No.
So, now they have to and, you know, you're trying to turn the aircraft carrier around on a dime.
Kevin, thank you very much, bud. We'll talk to you on Friday. When are we going to talk, like, NCAA, like, next year, maybe? SP Futures down 31, NASDAQ Futures down 87. We've been pretty much around here all morning, but a little bit down. It's 1.5% compared to the 10% up yesterday, so we're still good. Be right back, Mr. Russell Rhodes.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? Have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim Howe. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Russell Rhodes, Professor Russell Rhodes, with us. Matt, do you think
What's going on?
Nothing. I'm just saying. I think the professor preferred Marianne. Just saying.
Gosh. I would have to go. I think everybody always says they're a Marianne person, but, you know, Mrs. Howell had it going in her day.
Well, lovey-lovey. Oh, lovey.
I love throwing you curveballs to start things off.
I could see you. I'm just going to say, you open the door. Maddie, give him 10 years. Is he going to turn into Thurston Helm?
Oh, my.
Oh, he's a yellow man. Oh, God, scum of the earth. Yeah.
Kids today.
I could see you I could see you grumping him like that, like that guy.
You know what? My Loyola student. On their Instagrams are basically posting their worst drunk selfies ever. How much fun is that?
6 feet apart?
No. From back in the day.
Oh.
Like, memories, you know, like one guy passed out on his birthday where people had drawn all over his face. People still do that.
The whole idea of taking pictures of these things, memories is one thing. Pictures is not a good idea.
No, they're not. I had a nanny a long time ago that had some really fun Facebook pictures, but I suggested when she was finishing college that maybe she take some of those down she tried to get gainful employment.
Yes, by the way, we're rallying here. Spoo's rolling down 1350. We've rallied 20 points since before the break, so that was quick. This stuff is moving.
Spike down and a bounce back up?
Yeah, well, we were down like 20, and then we were down 35, and now we're down 14. But we're trying, obviously, to pull this stuff out of Washington. And the Senate and the White House have agreed on a bill, but they need the House in there somewhere. Yeah. You know, and we'll see. And, oh, by the way, your buddy Prince Charles has the virus.
That was the first thing my wife said to me this morning.
Well,
I said good morning, and she said Prince Charles has the virus.
I think we're going to find that a lot of people have the virus, but that's...
Well, especially over there, because they had a different approach to all of this.
Well, everybody's got a different approach.
Their different approach was, let's see if we can just let this virus run its course.
Which may end up being what everybody ends up doing, but hopefully not.
Yeah.
But now, do they think, I was listening to this guy last night, of Boris Johnson's right-hand man, do they think they have an antibody test? Because he was talking last night like they do. He was talking about how we want to go test everybody, the people with antibodies, we're going to send them right back to work. But I didn't even know there was such a thing as the antibody test yet that was available.
Didn't know. Does that mean that you've already had it?
Yeah.
And you've built up the immunity?
Yeah.
But does that mean you can't carry it anymore?
It drops down to a level where you're not contagious. As to whether the immunity lasts 2 years, 3 years, or forever... Most flus, it's not forever. It's a few years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like measles or that. You know, it's pretty much the same disease. But flus always come back a little bit different. So your immunity always...
They mutate, and we try to stay ahead of them.
But but still, you end up with, when a flu hits the society, even a bad one, some people have had something similar to it recently. There's a vaccine. You blunt the number. There's probably... Half the population can't get it between the vaccines and the other stuff, which means it's harder and harder to spread. So we're hoping to get this thing to that stage one of these days. Vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm thinking within a year we'll have a vaccine. Well, a year's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't seem as long the older you get, does it?
You seem to know a lot about this all of a sudden. Are you now a scientist?
I've been reading.
Are you responding to the...
I am in a spot where a lot of the listeners send me a lot of very well thought out articles, and I've been reading them all. And most of the ones.
Did you see the article where a porn star has offered to spend some time with a scientist who solves this?
I did see that, and
that's why we've all turned into scientists.
Hopefully, that's some added motivation.
Yeah, for some scientists.
Hope it's not the same one Trump was going after. I didn't think she was all that hot.
No.
He already had.
All I remember was she was brunette. I saw it passing. I didn't dig too much into it.
I will have to say...
Don't you long for a simpler time when we were worried about a president banging porn stars and cheating on his wife?
I will say this, yeah. that one of the guys on the trading floor... of course, everybody knew everything about everybody, right? There was a guy on the trading floor that... was dating Sika, the porn queen. Sika. And the astounding part was that everybody kind of knew about everybody, shall we say. And the rumor was that, how could that guy have gotten Sika? It's kind of known that he was a drag in the sack. Okay. I tell you what, I don't know when I've seen a better looking, a more impressive looking lady than her. She had 5'11". She was drop dead gorgeous. And she had the first row seats at Wrigley Field, right behind the visitors' batting circle.
Yeah.
And when she walked down there, all the players would run over, say hello, sign autographs. Go figure. Anyway, I can say a simpler time, right?
Exactly. I remember life was so much simpler.
But to say that she was a hit when she came as a visitor to the trading floor one day is an understatement.
Oh, I can imagine. I can only imagine.
I still remember when Bob Dole came down there and somebody taped the chain on his heels, and he was walking along with the chain on both heels.
Oh my gosh!
You ever see that, Manny? Where they take the paper, they put the in circles and make a big long chain of paper, and they tape it to your heels, so you're walking around, you're dragging this big chain behind you.
Hanging a little sign on your back, or
oh yeah. Well, then they would do the thing. Well, the best was there was a guy who was a He was going for like his Mr. Universe thing. So the guy was totally muscle bound where he couldn't do much of anything. Well, and he had these traps that were so huge he couldn't reach behind his neck and get his collar down. So everybody'd walk by the guy and flip his collar up in the back to piss him off because he couldn't reach up there and put it down. Anyway.
Like a guy with tiny arms.
Well, yeah, but here's what I'm not saying any of your buddies, you know, Thomas in particular, will fall for this or maybe. There used to be, at the end of the day, this big pile of paper. You know, you just threw stuff on the floor, and they cleaned it up at night. And, they would always, they'd put like a $5 bill in there and attach it to a string underneath all the paper, like a lure for a fish. And one of the clerks would inevitably, like, see the $5 bill, and he'd reach for it, and somebody yanked the string. The things you do when you're bored. I'd say Thomas would have fallen for that, you think?
I think a lot of people would have that we know.
Yeah. The clerk would always get like a laughed out of the place. The poor guy.
Did you guys ever do any work?
Well, trading is 90% boredom, 10% panic.
It is. It's 90% standing around trying not to lose your mind.
Yeah.
And when I was at SIBO and my job was taking college kids around, you know, they would ask me what skills you needed to be on the floor. And I said, you need to be able to carry on two conversations at once fairly well,
right,
and adjust immediately when things change.
Yes,
like you need to know where the market's at, and then talk about how your middle child is driving you nuts at the same time.
That's why do you think all the people on the floor, half of them were chess or gin rummy or backgammon or sports crazy guys? Because that's why when you talk about this 24-hour trading, if you ask anybody who's ever been on a trading floor, he'll say that that's nuts. Because you have a big flurry at the opening and a big flurry in the close, and whenever you went from, we used to be open from what, 9 to 3, then it was 8:30 to 3. All you do is extend the no man's land in the middle of the day. If the trading day was 5 hours long, the trade would be better, and everybody still get their stuff done, right?
And probably about the same amount of stuff as well.
Yeah, probably the same amount of stuff. All right, so Professor. were winging around. We're winging around all kinds of money. The first bill had a $500 billion slush fund in there. That's a bad word. Fund in there for Trump to use as his own discretion. They've put a little bit of supervision on that. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen people so anxious to throw money around that don't have any?
No. Maybe back in 2008.
Yeah, well, we're way more broke now.
There are some similarities between what we're doing right now and 2008 as far as the legislative process. But no, I haven't seen, they're using the Rahm Emanuel thing. They're making sure that they don't allow this, this crisis to go to waste and knocking some things through on both sides.
Well, they just had
if they can.
Have you been watching CNBC? They've had this thing on there, and I've seen it a couple times, but I didn't commit it to memory. They talk about a liquidity problem is business is going to be okay. I'm okay. Cash will come in. I'll pay you as soon as I can. Solvency, business basically sucks. It's never coming back. I'm never paying you. Now, I'm curious as to what. I'm very concerned that if we're going to come up with any money at all, it gets down to the people who need it, which if it does this time, it will be the first time, in my lifetime anyway. But if you go into the commercial paper market like they're doing, if you go into the corporate bond market like they're doing, and you start buying this stuff, and all of a sudden you get a clunker, and suppose you do go in and buy, $2 billion worth of United Airlines bonds, and I'm not predicting any, I'm just using these guys as an example because it did happen before. And 6 months from now, we're still locked in houses, and and all of a sudden, United Airlines goes under. What does the Fed do with that money? I mean, the bond. Are we going to at least get to wipe our behinds with it, or what?
Not even that.
No.
No, not even that. So
I mean, are we? We're trying to help out, but we're also entering the market, and we're paying individual decisions on this. We're making individual decisions on certain places, and I honestly don't believe. When the Fed went in and bought, I'll use the last crisis because we know kind of what they did. When the Fed went to a bank and bought a portfolio of 1,000 mortgages or 2,000, however the hell they did it, a tranche or whatever they call it,
they bought the bond.
I'm going to say they had zero ability, zero people to research on any kind of. I'm big on random sampling lately. They didn't sample 20 of those properties, go out and take a look at them and find out that 16 of them were people still living there paying every month. Three of them looked like the people were struggling, but you were going to be able to sell it for something. And one of them had a fence around it and the grass was 4 feet high. I mean, I don't think they had any idea, and yet they agreed on a price. Okay. I mean, I'm thinking the price was higher than you and I. I also don't think that if you and I want to buy one of those houses out of foreclosure, they way overpaid one of their buddies, the banks, to service all this crap because they don't have anybody to service it, nor would you want them to have a huge infrastructure to service this stuff. Because now you're an owner of what? $1.8 trillion in bonds. That's like, or mortgages. How many mortgages is that? And yet you're not a manager. It's like the Saudi prince buying, $40 billion out of mortgages. He could care less about one on the west side of Chicago. Who services that? He has to pay somebody. So if you're trying to buy that thing, you're not going to call Jerome Powell and say, by the way, there's your mortgage 48-424. You got it down here for 140. I'll give you 135. He's not going to make that call. Now, who does? I mean, it becomes very, very inefficient. Now, all of a sudden, we're driving into the corporate bond. We're driving the commercial paper area, which is even lower than the bond, right? I mean, I don't know how that those would strike. We're going into all these areas, and we're just buying stuff. I mean, can they buy my Suburban for $20,000? I mean, if they're overpaying for stuff.
I have a few things I'd like to sell them.
Yeah. I mean,
like selling my Bitcoin at $20,000.
Yeah. I mean, we're walking down this road and we're winging money and everybody. I think the term is helicopter money. But at the end of the day, what are we going to do? We're going to have, the economy's going to pick up and our inflation rate's going to be 6 or what?
No, I don't think the inflation rate's going to be 6. Because we haven't really gone negative quite yet. We might go negative. We'll just see how much longer this thing lasts. I do think the better way to get the money to where it needs to go, which is people paying their mortgages and then to the bond payers or to the bondholders, is really sending money to people that need it right now. You know, like my sister down in Memphis whose restaurant closed. You know, thank goodness she has a big brother in Chicago that'll pay her mortgage and make sure she has cash in her pocket until things get back to normal. But a lot of people don't have that safety net. So I think when the money goes straight to the people that make the first round payments in those things, that it solves both problems, but also takes an awful lot of stress off of individuals.
Well, but here's where I think he's being somewhat clumsy at it. But the president clearly has a point when he's in Mandy was arguing about an OAM with me, and with good reason. Not like Mandy isn't. Has a good position on this, is that we can do all we want, and if I'm saying most people believe that a independent restaurant, if the property taxes stay the same or the lease or something, if everything stays the same, most guys probably have the scratch to keep it going for a month, maybe two. All right, so if you were geniuses in government and you were in the will was there, which I question, but and you actually got the Russell and Matt Weber saloon and pizza joint a check for a month or two and helped them out, I think that would be an amazing good use of government and crisis management. I mean, if that were to happen. But now if it's going to be a 6-month project, what'd you do? You just peed in Lake Michigan, right? So I mean, there needs to be, when you start sending money to people, there has to be some, and I understand this is a pandemic and not other problems, and it's people are dying, lives are at stake. But somehow there has to be some idea that if it's 6 months, we might as well not send anybody anywhere. They're going out of business. I mean, it's heartless, but what are we sending them anything for? They might as well just tell their lessor they're out the first month. I mean, what are we doing here? Why are we propping people up for 2 months if it's going to be a year? So, I mean, there needs to be some sense of an end game here as well, which is very hard to do at this point. Very hard to do. Matter of fact, impossible. Yeah.
But we don't know when this thing's going to end.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but I mean, you need to know at this point, again, Maddie and I argued on the way in, what don't we know about the virus that we would like to know, making the decisions are being made, I'll use the term anyway. Okay, I'd like to know, I'd like to have an awful lot more tests, duh. I'd like to know how many people have had it. I'd like to know how many people have already had it. That type of thing. Everybody wants to know that. Okay, but now we also need to know, before we send Russell Rhodes Restaurant a check, which obviously I think we should do, does $2,000 or $4,000 get you a month? Is your landlord going to lay off on the lease for a month? Or is he going to grab the $4,000? If we send somebody a check, unemployment, I just did some research last night. I'm going to say the unemployment check in Illinois almost exactly matches up to the hospitalization if a person's paying him for himself and his family. Unemployment maximum is what, $1,850 or somewhere thereabout? And I'm going to say.
So you don't lose your health coverage.
But
you don't have anything else.
Well, I'm saying if I still have to pay that, there goes my $1,500. Oh, by the way, I have a deductible of God knows what. So if I get this flu, I go to the hospital, there goes my deductible, or one of my, or somebody in the family. So it does matter how long we're talking, even though it's indeterminate at this point. Correct?
Right. Right.
Don't you hate it when there's more?
The way that you can get around this timing thing that you're talking about right now is, you know, send out the checks to the individuals that need it to get by. Hopefully rely on a little bit of decency out of, landlords. And I'll just use where my sister works. You know, if you're the landlord of the, bakery / brunch place that she works in Memphis, you're probably don't want to go through the process of trying to find a new tenant when all this stuff writes itself, especially for a restaurant space that takes a month to be built out. So they would be, it would be best for them just to kind of forego the mortgage payments if they can. If you suspend property tax payments until this thing straight.
Whoa. I have heard no outpeep from JM on TV an hour a day Pritzker that's even hinting at that.
Well, he doesn't have control over property tax. It's the municipality.
I have
heard that one thrown out there, not necessarily by him.
I would say that the governor.
No, I've heard the suspending for property tax thrown out by and all the different municipalities are and all the different states are behaving in different ways, which I think they should, because the response to this thing is different for a place like Chicago, Illinois, than for Topeka, Kansas.
Why?
You know, I wanted to stick on the financial part there. So if you do that, you rely on a little bit of decency out of people through this thing, where, you know, the bank, if you've got a mortgage, the bank really doesn't want to foreclose on you. They want to figure out how to get you through this thing, you know? And
what bank are you talking about?
That's just not the business they're in.
If you don't pay 2 months in a row, they start hitting you up with attorney's fees, and if you demand the time card from that attorney, they won't give it to you. What attorney?
I think in this environment, you would hope that they would not take that approach.
Right, but I mean, when have you been astounded by
going back to the how the government, how I think the government could best financially respond to this thing is again making sure that the people that need money, and unfortunately, you know, very few people in the world follow that you need to have at least, 3 to 6 months or whatever, depending on what professor talks to you, of savings in place in case you lose your job and need to continue to get by. Most people are living a check to check.
But not by their own choice.
I think part of that is because very few people have been in a situation where they're, you know, like they're in right now, where they can't get by because where they used to work stopped paying them a week ago. You know,
I'm kind of hoping that this
sparks somewhat of a behavior change out of people as well, kind of like the Great Depression did.
But I do think
that the way that you keep things going is you send checks to people who need it. You know, initially it was, we're going to send everybody $1,000, and you know, I sound so arrogant, but my intent was if he was going to send me $1,000, I was going to board it to my sister who needs it more than I do.
I was under the impression that you were...
And now they're not going to do that. They've got a cutoff on it, which I actually think is a good idea.
I was under the impression you were going to tell me, you know, your dog was one of your kids, so you get an extra $500.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's just because these three vet bills that are running around the house right now.
Yeah.
They kind of cost me about $500 a month. I need that.
You're right about that. But
I think sending $1,000 a month or whatever, and maybe having it somewhat open ended because we don't know when this thing's going to end, is probably the way to go.
We have, if you were to ask,
and it keeps everything else going because it. You know, we had Reagan with trickle-down economics. This would be trickle-up.
Trickle-down economics has been the Republican forte for generations. And it's never once worked except for the people who get to do the trickling.
Mm-hmm.
No, just saying. But if you were to ask...
Maybe we do it in reverse.
Just as a slight...
And that way...
Oh, you've heard...
That way the banks continue to get... You know, maybe not all the mortgage payment, but some of the mortgage payment. People continue to make their car payments, so they have their car so they can get back to work when this thing is behind us. But instead of going from the top down, you know, try from the bottom up as far as the bailout
goes. What did you think of the Chiefs?
They continue to get the money from where they're supposed to be getting it from, not the government.
What do you think of the Chiefs' three trickle-up principles that I've been talking about for a decade?
Which are?
Take the $3,000 capital gains limit against your personal, especially with a market that's down 35%, and make that like $100,000 or more. Cap interest rates on credit cards at 15, which is still egregious, and lower the student loan interest by like 1.5%. Don't get rid of them or anything, but just lower it. I think you'd find
they did take our student loans down to 0% for the next 2 months.
Right. What I'm saying, the things that have not been touched are credit card interest at the bank, the amount of money you could take off on stock you just lost money on, and property taxes. And if you look at individual people, the people that are still making 30-some thousand a year median, like they were 20 years ago, even though the price index is up by double. You wonder why people don't have money in a bank. Well, that's why, Russell. But I'm saying those people, they're going to say, I have my credit cards I pay, and I pay my property taxes, and I pay my hospitalization. Those are the three things that are absolutely dancing on top of people's heads, and not one of those three things is being touched. Right?
Not that I know.
So, I mean, yes, I'm with you on everything you said, but let's find out why can't these banks that have nothing but dough take a credit card interest, charge everybody only 10% for 2 months until this thing's over with? We can do that. Don't tell me there's a moral hazard to that. SP Futures down 27, NASDAQ Futures down 85. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now, right here.
Right now. Hello, everybody. It's Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim Howe. It's Brett Weber on the board. We have Mr. Professor Russell Rhodes with us. S&P futures down 24, NASDAQ futures down 72. Big stocks moving. Boeing up $20. So Boeing's up, I'm going to say, close to $60 from its low. I think they're part of this package. I'm just saying, man. They must be part of this package. You got United Airlines up 490. They trade under 20 now. They're 37.90. They're getting some of this though. Remains to be seen whether you or I get a check. Which is saying would our stock be trading up if we were listed?
Good question. By the way, before you get back to it, Russell just tweeted, my Stocks and Jocks co-host today in the Western Suburban Studio. And he's got a picture of his cute little pup. Russell, is that a beagle or a...
That's a beagle. That's Daisy the beagle.
That's a cute dog.
Very cute.
There are two pugs and the beagle is my dog.
Audrey just sent me this picture from the TLC. This is, I mean, evidently they're getting overloaded with dogs, Russell, because people are dropping their dogs off thinking the dogs have the virus.
Well, they worry that it stays on their fur.
Yeah, who can worry? Give the dog a bath, for God's sake.
Well, I agree. I would never give up my dog.
Jesus. Anyway, if you give up the dog, the wife would be out on you in a second.
Oh, I'd be gone.
Well, you'd be toast.
That's an easy decision between me and the dog, obviously.
Anyway, Bankman's a character. He's the most interesting little guys ever. Anyway, as like I said, SP futures down 19. Let's go around the rest of the world here. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up down 92.9%. FTSE up 61.1%. CAC around up 57.1.3%. Remember, Prince Charles has the disease. Nikkei up 14.54. These guys were down yesterday, but still, it's not yesterday, the day before. Up 8%. That's a lot. That's like, we were up 10 yesterday. Shanghai up 59.2%. Hang Seng up 863, 3.8%. Bonds up 0.85 here, up 0.3. The Bund minus 0.29. Again, heading back up again. Japan still positive, 0.03. Oil down 68 cents, 23.33. Remember when I said a while ago, Betty, that the new range was 50 to 55? Hope nobody remembers that show. Here we are at 23.30. Wow. Brent down 1, 26.12. Natural gas up 3, 1.68. RBOB, 46 cents. I that's stunning to me. That means, what is it, 90 cents a dollar more the station should be, Russell? So $1.50? Wow. Gold down $30 now, $16.30. Still pretty high because it was way up yesterday, but still down $30. Silver unchanged at $14.25. Copper down 2 cents, $2.15. Matty, we got for us traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Expressways are still wide open coming in on the Edens and Kennedy, Eisenhower, Stevenson, Dan Ryan, I-57, Bishop Ford, all looking good. No issues on Lakeshore Drive in either direction. Suburban tollways are quiet too. Only crash on the scene currently is in the city. Howard Street on the westbound side at Caldwell, up on the north side, there is a crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, our first nice weather day in quite a while. As far as sunshine and warm temperatures, we'll reach a high of 55 today with mostly sunny skies. Right now, it is mostly clear and 38 degrees downtown, going up to a very pleasant high of 55. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 79 today. Right now, it's mostly clear and 56. Chief.
The individual stacks, like I said, we've got Boeing up $20. We've got Apple up 3. But there's some that are down. We got Triple M down 1. Russell, what have you ever seen so many variables out there? Fed's James Bullard says after a short-term unparalleled shock, economy will boom again. What are we talking about, the year 2525, or are we talking April? What are we doing here?
I think you just put a really low bid and a really high offer on that one. Probably somewhere in between there. I think they're hopeful that before the year is over with. But there will be some pent up demand for things when we all do get back to normal. You know, it's time for me to refresh my cardigan sweater collection. and I've been shopping online somewhat for that. But I'm not going to buy them until I need them to look very, you know, professorish in front of my classes.
Or in front of Stocks and Jocks.
Yeah, or in front of Stocks and Jocks. I really do plan out the wardrobe when I'm in studio.
Oh, absolutely. Well, because you want me to talk about it, you know.
I know. That's right. It's an attention getting. If you've got no personality whatsoever, you have to dress funny.
Universities, what's going to be one of the mysteries of this whole thing, Russell, to me is who and when is going to have the correctness, the data, and the stones to call the all clear?
I hadn't really thought about that. I assume that Dr. Fauci guy is going to be the one that we all believe.
He's going to be out by the end of the week.
No. He's
already halfway out.
He's not just some slouch that showed up. He is so ridiculously well-respected within the medical community. I almost feel like he's the closest thing to an untouchable person working in government.
I don't think they're going to fire him. He's just not going to be any more news conferences.
I thought I saw him in the background at the one yesterday.
He was in there yesterday, but the one before, I don't think he was.
No, he wasn't. And, you know, the other thing is, I love, you know, some of the Twitter commentary. Most of it's just kind of worthless, but somebody said that he always looks like somebody that, looks like someone that has a lot of other things to be doing right now while he's just standing back there. And in addition, I think he's probably trying not to physically display his disappointment at what's being said in front of him.
Well, I agree with that.
But I think he is so good at what he does, and apparently he's been the man since my wife was in nursing schools in Boston. She actually worked under him for a little while, and that's kind of like you know, one of the presidents trying to get rid of Greenspan back in the day. He was just kind of untouchable, even though, you know, there were some mistakes being made. So this is one guy, and the other side of that is I don't think he's taking advantage of that and, you know, ripping on the president or anything. You know, he's just trying to do the best thing that he can do and make sure that the right information is getting out there in the best way without intentionally embarrassing the president.
I always question.
So, but I don't, I bet that he's with us through this whole thing.
He has facepalmed a couple of times and certainly smirked.
Yeah.
He's got to be going nuts in the background there when, one, they're all standing close together after he specifically says we need to be apart. And I've read interviews with him where he's like, I'm picking and choosing my battles right now, but he's like, it really does bother me that we all stand close together behind the president. Secondly, you have a buffoon that's talking in front of him and meanwhile he's got to be thinking, one, this guy's an idiot, and two, you're right, I have so many things that I should be doing right now instead of standing
right
here. It really is kind of a sideshow to watch, but I think he is very well respected, and hopefully this administration doesn't force him out.
I just don't think that in this current environment, even if they were clashing more publicly, that you want to make a change around something like this.
Especially
if you want to get reelected.
Can I left something out there?
As we
age, you got to be real careful. I try to be. I mean, I try and be that. Mm-hmm. Being in the market, I've seen an awful lot of stuff. They're never always the same. There's similarities. I mean, yesterday, I wasn't on the trading floor 2 or 3 days. I was in a bear market, and the market went up, and somebody said, beware a bear market rally. They'll rip your face off. And yet, they're still just a bear market rally. And 3 weeks later, they're all forgotten, except for the guy who got caught short the day there was a bear market rally. Now, remains to be seen whether yesterday was just the mother or father of all bear market rallies, or actually there's been a change because of what the Fed's doing. I think people fall into the habit, no matter who they are, no matter how brilliant they are, in fighting the last battle. And I honestly believe that I've heard some stuff from this guy who, by the way, I thought I was one of the first guys on the show to say what an amazing job he did in the AIDS situation. He realized it was not just a gay disease. He fought the Reagan administration. The man should go straight to heaven just for that. There's no doubt in my mind. But I get the feeling, even though I know he knows way more, way, way more than I do about this, somehow he's fighting the last battle. He still is demanding that we only use tests for people that are sick. And everything I've read from everybody overseas is this particular flu is very unique in that you need to know the people who do not have symptoms, because those are the ones that are spraying it around like if it's graffiti or glitter. And he has not taken that turn yet, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Either knows something.
Well, do you think it's because of the amount of tests that are available?
Probably.
You know,
but my point is, if somebody comes in and they're very sick and they're 70, you're treating the symptoms. I'd like to know whether they have it or whether they don't. I honestly don't care whether it's regular pneumonia, whether it's this, whether it's. I mean, that's a little harsh, but my point is, we need to find out the people that are infecting people by the day. That person laying on that bed is done infecting. They're either going to survive or not. I'm saying this appears different to me, and it's not. And it's not being now. Yesterday, Manny and I were talking on the way in, arguing that the Italian situation did not react to, in my opinion, from what I've read. Did not react to this particular. In some areas, they did.
They didn't react for 2 months.
Okay.
That's their problem.
Okay, but in one city, the city probably only had 400 people in it. Russell, what they did is they lined everybody up and tested them. They say, okay, you got it. You go to that motel, for lack of a better term, and don't come out for 14 days. You don't have it. You can now go home and stay at home. All right. Mm-hmm. And in 2 weeks, nobody's got it. All right, but in Italy, the specifics of their population is a lot of three-generation people live in the same place.
Oh, yeah.
There's
denser living situation.
And they have more old people, older people, than virtually any place on Earth other than Japan. All right, so in what I've read from Germany about this particular virus, and the way it is, if you say everybody go home and stay there, you are killing your people. You are killing your people. It does not work for this virus. In that, if you combine the virus with multi-generational group, with the fact that it's probably more widespread than you thought, with the young people, and you put them all in the same place, you got a problem. Now, I read last night, India, which is probably worse than Italy, and multi-generational people in the same house.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
They've now decided they're going to... The entire country is on a lockdown, and the army is going to enforce it. Now,
and they have been. Have you seen videos of them enforcing it?
But I'm saying if it's widespread enough where you send young people home to the old people, all you're going to do is make this way worse than it has to be because of the uniqueness of this thing. I hope I'm wrong. I'm just saying. I'm piecing articles together, Russell. Where's my logic off here?
Your logic's not off, but I do think that I have a little bit of a problem with us sending all the college kids home.
Yeah.
And giving them no choice but going home.
Right.
Liberty University just said that the students can come back if they want to, but they're still doing online classes. I think that's a little bit better choice to make.
Well, Notre Dame didn't send anybody home. They said we're stopping classes. You can go home if you want, or you can stay in the dorms.
Really? I didn't realize. I didn't. Yeah. You know, why isn't Notre Dame being given a hard time over that one? But Liberty University is.
I don't know. Maybe most people went home.
Yeah. So,
a lot of kids don't
have them. I do think that was probably a better, a better choice, is making it optional to stick around or not. You know, I had 22 kids. I have 22 students from Spain that got sent home.
How did that help?
They were all up in arms, and I had kids crying in class over this whole thing. Because the amount of uncertainty, when we didn't know if we were going to continue class or not, if they're going to get sent home or not. you know, how they're going to get home, all that kind of stuff. It was really, you really did kind of feel for them.
Well, I know a couple of guys, this is in my era,
you know,
a couple of guys went to school and they said the parents divorced and moved into separate places with no room for them while they were gone. Where do you want to
go?
That's why we always had people at my place for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
they find something else to do. I don't want to pick on college kids too much in the face of, you know, the first kind of crisis that they've ever had to deal with, but I saw a kid from Harvard just ripping on the university about, well, where do I go? What do I do? And everything. And I'm thinking, good Lord, man. You know, and he even mentioned in his Twitter rant that he was a senior. It's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, you're going to what's, you know, the best university in the country. You're a senior. You're about to graduate and go out into the real world and you're whining about, you know, how do I react to all of this? You know, man up and figure some things out for yourself.
Well, they closed about 2 weeks before anybody else, maybe a week and a half.
They did. All the Ivy League schools shut it down first.
So I know where I'm going.
Thank God, because we need all of them, or we can't survive as a species.
Well, I know the first week I'm going to hang with my girlfriend at Boston College.
Uh-huh. Yeah, until they...
Assuming I had a girlfriend at Boston. Until they got booted out.
Until they boot her out.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, but then again, think about it. I mean... You got to put yourself in somebody else's place. People in this country aren't used to being essentially horrendously, I'll use the term, ill and spreading germs when you don't feel a thing. When was the last time that ever happened to anybody?
I know. No, this is it's a new thing. It really is.
I mean,
I think it's going to be a good lesson for a lot of people.
Well, that just feeling good, you could be sick. That's all right. We don't want to be feeling like that all the time.
No, I just... So I get what you're saying as far as the, you know, testing the healthy people to make sure that they're not carrying it around.
So
you know, I totally get that.
So imagine if...
Because there was a rumor that a student at Loyola may have had it, and this student actually also worked on the floor of the SIVO. And it was somebody that I interacted with. I was sent to the basement for 5 days when I got home.
What do you got?
They were leaving food for me at the top of the steps,
like in the leper colony.
Yeah,
jeez.
There was, you know, I'd hear a little knock, 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 and there was my dinner sitting at the top of the basement steps.
So imagine when you were young, you meet some young lady, and all of a sudden she says, "Are you sure you're not diseased?" We're not talking about the kind of disease you and I might be talking about for that, but
right.
Just in general, you're not diseased. No, I feel fine. You
yeah,
sure?
I feel
you,
fine. Well,
when was the last time you were
stay
tested?
Down there?
When was the last time you tested for a the flu or everything else? Why would I?
By the way,
it?
I don't really think that is a new thing. I think typically when people get the flu, they probably have it for a day or two before they feel symptoms.
Right.
What's the difference?
Right.
This is more
right.
like four or five.
It's just the longevity on this thing is what really is the problem.
Yeah, it's like 4 or 5 days, man, before you. And some people never get the symptoms.
What's influenza? 2 days? 3 days?
Well, but
what's
I'm saying,
I mean,
you at least
a day or two. It's a day or two.
But if you had SARS, you knew you had SARS. That's why the count from SARS was great.
Well, I think when you have coronavirus, you know you have it too, eventually.
Eventually. Yeah, the problem is you can pass it on for several days.
Right, but
before,
I don't.
Kid,
is that different from the regular
that's
flu?
In my mind, that's the scariest part of this thing.
That's the part
right
you're,
there.
That's the part
I
you're
agree,
sort of missing,
but
Manny.
Is that different than the regular flu?
Yeah.
I think it's still contagious for the day or two. It may not be for 5 days, but let's say it's 2 days
right.
or 3 days. It's still contagious and you don't know you
the
have
kid,
it. What's the difference?
The kid from the Celtics says he's never had a symptom. He played basketball this afternoon. He's on his 10th day.
That tested positive?
Yeah. The guy from South Korea, they identified somehow on his first day. One of the articles I read, they charted this kid for, he's like 24. He goes, I would have characterized it at worst as a very mild cold.
But everyone's different. I mean, some people think getting a tattoo hurts. Some people don't think it doesn't hurt at all. I mean, everyone's different. Everyone's body reacts differently to pain, to sickness, to colds, to the flu. I personally feel like I haven't had the flu ever, at least in my adult life. I don't remember ever having the flu.
Well, there's some kinds where you get where if you're
but some people are sick every 3 months.
Well, there's some people when you get it, you're in the can for 2 days, you know you got it.
Yeah.
You have a fever to 104, you know you got it. SARS,
I don't think I've ever had the flu.
SARS, you know you have it. MERS, you know you have it because you're sick.
Right, and this, you know you have it, too. It's obviously much worse
than
the regular
flu. I'm
saying,
a lot of people don't know they have it. That's what I'm trying
to
tell you for 2 weeks.
Yeah, they don't know they have it for a few days.
No, ever. ever.
So they
there are people that will carry it for a couple of weeks, and it will run its course, but they'll never show any symptoms.
They'll never show any symptoms.
But at the same time, they can pass it on.
But I'm saying that has got to be the case for every flu ever. That's my point.
No, it isn't.
So you're telling me I've never had the flu in my life? Just because I don't get 104 degree fever and get slammed. I get the same germs everyone else does.
Every morning.
Everyone reacts differently.
Every morning you're telling me you're Superman. I'm just telling you.
I'm not Superman. I'm saying, like, everyone's body reacts differently.
A lot of young people.
And I think that's the same for all flus.
Well, a lot of people get the flu shots. They have immunity. They might have had it when they were young. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Exactly. That's the point. So what's the difference?
I'm saying we've never had something this widespread where an incredible. I mean, if you were to read some of the stuff I read, under the age of 30, something like 50-60% of the people are totally asymptomatic. I've never heard anything like that.
I haven't read that.
Okay.
How many people have we tested under the age of 30?
A lot in some of these other countries.
Yeah. That's why when you, Matt, when you look at that Johns Hopkins thing where it's,
the dashboard.
How many people have recovered, and there's such a high recovery rate, but there are a lot of people that tested positive for it that never really, ever really felt sick.
What did Carl say? He felt crummy for like one day, and he's convinced now he had it.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that think they had it.
I think 25% of Americans think they already had it.
Yeah. Well, if you had
which is hilarious.
Which is hilarious,
Not true.
Well,
but.
I want to circle back to the Dr. Fauci thing real quick, because I saw a survey on who do you trust for coronavirus info, and they divided it up among Democrats and Republicans.
Wasn't that a song,
and
Who Do You Trust, Ghostbusters?
Democrat, both of them had well over 80% for the CDC, and then it just deviates all over the place, which I don't want to. But, again, I think that's why this guy is going to be with us.
I hope he is.
Everybody agrees to listen to the top docs.
I hope he is. I'm sure not a 5-year plan guy like Russia, but the idea that we have 50 different governors pulling triggers on this stuff, I think, is somewhat.
I don't have a problem with different states reacting differently. I really don't have a problem with Illinois, I wouldn't even have a problem with us doing the same thing that we do with the public school system, where the Chicago public school has one set of rules mandated by the state, and all the other school districts have different rules. I don't have a problem with different areas being treated differently. And, I don't think that the person that lives under the light in the middle of nowhere on a farm should be told they can't leave their house for 2 weeks to go to town and get stuff to live off of and things like that. I do think that you want to have different types of reactions based on how people live their lives. And people live differently in Nebraska than in Illinois, or Nebraska than New York State.
I do
think that this is one of those things that's handled better at a state level.
I think you're right about that, but I also think everyone's calling New York City the epicenter. Nate Silver released a stat, and this is just confirmed cases, so this is obviously very early because we, of course, don't have any tests. But just as many people per capita in pretty much every state have it, no different than New York.
That's probably right, Manny. That's probably right.
So yeah. There are a few outliers, of course, and obviously the numbers are very early because we don't have a lot of tests. But per million people, Louisiana, for example, has more cases than New York.
So you're saying that the guy in Alaska is basically pissing up a rope by saying nobody can come into Alaska because we don't have any.
Well, I mean, I don't know that. I'm just saying that I agree with Russell that, things should be handled differently because situations are differently, obviously. I mean, Phil Jackson coached Michael Jordan differently than he coached, Judd Bushler. But, yeah. I mean, because they're different. But at the same time, I also think that everyone is getting this in all 50 states, and it appears to be at about the same clip so far.
I'm absolutely happy about. I'm getting this feeling, and tell me if I'm wrong on this. I only got 30 seconds. I get the feeling that our care here, the amount of people that are dying that have it, are not near the same as in Italy. I think our care is better. it seems to be like our numbers are way lower. Or am I just imagining that or hoping that?
I think we separated our old people sooner. Two months sooner.
Maybe.
That's why.
It could be. Whatever.
And we're probably more likely to send our old people to old folks' homes where a couple of clusters had hit. But, you know, in Italy, you know, like I think Matt mentioned, they're all, you know, three generations under the same roof.
Yep. All right, Russell, thank you very much. But SP Futures down 975, NASDAQ Futures down 27. We're almost back to break even. I think we're up today. We'll see. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.